From the WBRZ News 2 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Keller Watts.
Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP, Mornings with Brian Haldane, rolling right along. Time to welcome in Congressman Garrett Graves, a little DC current, presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Congressman Graves, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, Brian. Doing well. How about you?
Doing very, very well. Hey, we've got a year under our belts for the Inflation Reduction Act. How's that working out?
I think it's one of the worst investments in modern history in this country. What's happened is that they've taken hundreds of billions of dollars and invested it into areas where you're distorting energy markets in ways that are forcing less reliable, less affordable energy technologies that increase our reliance upon foreign countries for energy. You have seen a plummeting of what is projected to be produced domestically for energy. And so this is a double whammy for Louisiana because, one, it's an area where Louisiana has major resources in terms of oil and gas resources. And two, again, increasing dependence on less reliable, less affordable energy. Just to give one statistic, energy prices have gone up nearly 40%. I think it's 37 point something percent since President Biden took office. And Brian, as you and I have discussed in the past, it's not that anyone is necessarily opposed to technologies like wind and solar. It's that you've got to put them in the places where they make sense to complement other energy sources like natural gas, electricity generation, nuclear power, which we have in Louisiana and others. But manipulating markets in ways where markets don't want to go, it is not in America's interest, and this really does just play into China's hands.
We're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves, DC current, presented by LABI. Okay, so that being said, is there a way backwards? I know backwards isn't the right word to use, but is there a way to put the horse back in the barn?
I think that there is, but let's be clear, the window is going to close, because if you continue in this direction of not allowing new production areas for conventional fuels, for liquid fuels, then you're going to force an industry to dry up. You're not going to have the expertise. You're not going to have the equipment. People are going to move these resources overseas to countries that are continuing to allow production of conventional fuels. So there is a window there, but the biggest problem, I think, is that they're trying to spend literally trillions of dollars to manipulate energy markets on technologies. And let's keep in mind, wind and solar energy technologies, I mean, these are technologies that are 40 and 50 years old. It's not like it's some new technology that you need to come in and subsidize. And so if they were viable, they would have already taken off in areas where they are viable. So I think you can salvage this. You can bring a more reasonable, a more affordable, a more Louisiana-centric energy policy back, but the window is going to close. That's why this is a major issue for us, trying to stop some of the subsidies that are forcing us in directions that are just not good for Louisiana, not good for America, not good for consumers.
We're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves. Okay, so you said there's a window. Do we know how long that window would remain open? Because manipulation of market overcorrection, manipulation of market overcorrection, these things, I mean, it's just, I liken it to a rundown in baseball. The more throws you make, the more likely you are to drop one.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but here's where I think the problem is, or I guess two problems. Number one, the cost of some of these technologies, like, for example, an offshore production platform, I mean, those things are $1 billion or over $1 billion. It's not like people are going to say, oh, well, we'll just tie this one up to the dock and let it sit around. I mean, these things are huge facilities, and they're gonna go overseas. The expertise and the equipment will. The second one, and this is, you know, we keep talking about manipulation of markets. Well, what does that mean to somebody who's just a consumer who just wants the lights to stay on? Well, what it means is it means higher cost for electricity. It means less reliable, otherwise known as intermittent energy sources. Because let's keep in mind the sun doesn't shine at night, and so you can't depend upon solar as a 24-hour electricity source. The wind doesn't blow all the time, so you can't rely upon wind as a 24-hour energy source. And so you either have to use batteries, which makes it even more expensive, or you're going to have intermittent or unreliable energy sources. So there are reasons why markets aren't going to go there long term, in terms of where technology is right now. So I think that, you know, because of those two things, the window that we have, you know, on the one hand, it's closing because people don't want to have equipment sitting around. On the other hand, there's going to continue to be consumer demand because people simply aren't going to allow for us to have energy sources like they do in California with brownouts, blackouts, rolling problems, having to shut down electricity during certain times of the day. I mean, why in the world would you follow a model like that when it's been such a problem for other states? And at the same time, Brian, let's keep in mind, all of this is being done by the Biden administration because they're claiming they want emissions to go down. Guess what? Their strategies are resulting in emissions going up, whereas under the previous administration, when President Trump was there, emissions were going down. I mean, it just, it's nonsensical.
No, exactly right. And you hit on the point that I was kind of walking it up to, is that through all of this, you said electricity prices are going up. The price at the pump is about to go back up again after it's already gone back up. And just when you see all of these things happen, what it costs for me to buy my family groceries is going to be more. Because if it costs more to run your business, more to produce and deliver goods, the cost of those goods is going to be more. And the name of this thing was the Inflation Reduction Act.
Well, you know, within weeks of this being signed into law, John Kerry, who's the climate envoy for the Biden administration, said that this bill had nothing to do with inflation. He doesn't know why they named it that. And finally, President Biden came out recently and effectively acknowledged the same thing. It doesn't have anything to do with inflation other than driving up inflation and causing folks to pay more. And you know, Brian, you made an excellent point in that this isn't just about how much we pay for electricity, how much it costs to fill our car with gas. This really is something that affects everything, because your 18-wheeler is going to be delivering your groceries. They're going to be paying more for fuel and for energy. And so the costs are going to go up there. The person who comes to repair your air conditioner, same thing. Its costs are going to go up. And just to keep, you know, everybody to remind them of what conditions were like when in January of 2021, when this president took office, gasoline prices, the lowest price in Louisiana was $1.74 a gallon. $1.74 a gallon. Could you imagine if we had a gas station with that price today, how long that line would be? It is incredible. It is incredible what flawed energy policies do to just the average person. And you've had folks out there saying, oh, we're not going to raise taxes on anyone. Well, that's exactly what you've done. If we're paying more for the same thing because of government policies, then that effectively is a hidden tax. And I just think it's disingenuous. It's so frustrating, especially when this is an area where Louisiana's economy could be thriving, could be benefiting, and instead it's actually costing us.
I just want to go out and buy a couple chickens and cows and just, like, let's just cut the middleman. I'm going to be a farmer. That's where this whole thing is headed. Or watch the segue, and it's Congressman Garrett Graves, D.C. Current, presented by LABI. Or I could just go out and be a full-time fisherman. Louisiana just brought in $58 million from a federal grant to aid the fishery recovery and resilience from the 2019 flood disaster. Tell me all about your work on this.
Okay, well, before we leave that, I just want everybody for just a minute to picture Brian standing there in a straw hat and overalls on his farm. I'm not sure I'm able to get that one out of my mind. But I'm moving on to fisheries, yes. So, Brian, this is an area, unfortunately, of, you know, sort of mixed emotions. On the one hand, my goodness, really excited that these dollars have been released and are being made available to benefit the fishing community that has just experienced so many challenges in recent years, everything from unfair and illegal trade practices, illegal chemicals being used on farm seafood that are being imported into the United States, to the impact of hurricanes and others. But this money was made available for a disaster in 2019, and it is just, meaning the appropriations were made in 2019, and the money is just being made available today. Think about the, you know, if you had a hurricane in 2019 and you are just now being made available assistance, I mean, what are you going to be doing sitting there for those 4 years? Are you going to be living in a tent? And so this is an area that's been so frustrating. We actually changed the law to try to expedite the way that this program works for folks in the future. But my goodness, I mean, to be sitting here and have a situation where people have had to wait for 4 years to get relief, it is a mixed emotion, because obviously we're excited that the dollars are finally being released, but sure wish this would have been done 4 years ago.
Got a couple minutes left with Congressman Garrett Graves. It's DC Current presented by LABI. All right, before we get you out of here, I got to hit you one that's kind of random. We had a topic yesterday based off of a letter to the editor within The Advocate, and I just wanted to get your raw gut reaction to this question. Should there be an age limit on elected officials?
You know, it's an interesting question, and we're dealing with something similar on airline pilots. Right now, there's a mandatory 65% retirement age. I mean, Brian, as you and I know, there are young 65-year-olds and they're older 65-year-olds. And so I think that it really depends upon the person. You know, when my father passed, I think he was a pretty vibrant, energetic, and I think, you know, mental facilities were there, absolutely. But I also know people that, you know, as they get up in age, that they struggle. I think so perhaps a way to deal with this is just to make sure that voters are educated and can make the decision. Now, I don't think I read that letter to the editor, but perhaps you're talking about the United States Senate, and you do have a 6-year term, which let's keep in mind, that's a long time. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the letter was talking about the presidential race, which is 4 years. And, you know, I'll admit I've got strong concerns about, I won't name names, I will just say some of the candidates, thinking about what they're going to be like 5 years from now. And so I think it's really important that voters are paying attention and that candidates are actually getting out there and not being hidden or, you know, sort of having this facade of TV commercials and things like that paint the person as being more vibrant, energetic, or just mentally there than they really are.
It's just, look, there's no right answer or wrong answer. Your feedback is fantastic. It was a letter to the editor, and it didn't narrow down Senate, president, anywhere. Is, you know, it's a question that comes up because we've seen a number of different examples in recent weeks and months. And I don't know how to answer it myself because I don't want to be mean here. And I'm talking about a couple of senators. I don't want to be mean here, but John Kennedy versus John Fetterman, we can't look at just age, can we?
It's a
broader topic. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, no, look, it's a good one, and that's why I think things like debates, you know, in some cases, especially when candidates have been hidden or aren't out there, you know, doing things like what you and I are doing right now, it really can paint an inaccurate picture of someone's sort of status or just their mental or physical capabilities at the time. So I think it's really important that people are out there, candidates are out there exposing themselves to the public. And I think that it really does give the public an educated view of the person's potential and their capabilities and how they're actually going to serve.
He is Congressman Garrett Graves, joins us every Wednesday at about this time. We call it DC Current. It's presented by the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Congressman, I always appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.